Welcome to the Proper Mental Podcast. Normalizing open and honest conversations about mental health by having open and honest conversations about mental health. Welcome to episode 6 of the Proper Mental Podcast, and our guest this week is the absolutely incredible Amanda Allen. And just before we get that underway, I'm just going to lay out some facts about Amanda. I'm going to break it down a little bit, right? Because this is an absolutely incredible episode. We cover so much ground. Let me just lay out some facts. Get on this, right? At the age of 40, Amanda was training for the World Canoe Championships, and someone recommended that she try CrossFit to help work on her strength. 9 months after setting foot in a box, she found herself at the CrossFit Games finals and she finished 19th. She went on to compete at the finals a further 5 times in the Masters category, and she won on 3 occasions. The last time she won was in 2018, and that was 7 months after having life-threatening surgery to remove 4 kilograms of benign tumours from her belly. And she was told by the doctors that she would never exercise again. And she won the CrossFit Games. She's had a lifelong struggle with alcoholism, suicidal depression and anxiety. And in 2016, she ran 1,000 kilometres across Australia to raise money and awareness for mental health. So I think that alone tells you a little bit about the sort of person that Amanda is. But there's so much more to her than her sporting achievements. She really is an incredible, inspiring human being. She has been, you'll hear from her story, I'm going to let her tell it. She's been to hell and back in several different ways, and she somehow emerged out the other side as this just creative, compassionate, inspiring person. Her outlook on life is just absolutely credible. As you can see, as you can hear rather, I was really, really taken by her, and we hit it off and we got on really, really well, and she was just so lovely and so much fun to talk to. It was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, I just can't wait to hear what people think of this conversation. Amanda has her own health supplement and nutrition related products, and she's kindly offered to sponsor this episode. So if you head to www.amandaallen.com.au and have a look around the site, and if you buy anything, enter the code PROPERMENTAL at checkout and you'll get 10% off. You can find Amanda on Instagram at Amanda Unicorn Allen, and I would highly recommend giving her a follow because her content is amazing and it's fascinating. She lives in a rainforest with 2 white wolves and just really connects with nature, and you can see her putting her products together. Everything's very lovingly crafted by her own hands, and you know, she just puts everything into it, and she's just brilliant. She's just really, really cool. Here we go, really. If you're listening on Apple, if you could subscribe and leave us a review, that would be amazing. If you're listening on any other platforms that you can review on, please drop us a review. Screenshot it, tag us, give us a follow on social media at Proper Mental Podcast on all the usual places. And let us know what you think of this, what you think of previous episodes, what you think of future episodes. We've been getting some amazing feedback, and it's really, really cool to hear from people. So thank you very much for listening. And here is episode 6 with Amanda Allen.
It's a miracle. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Yeah, that's amazing. Aww.
Yeah, hi,
that's great. How are you doing? My name's Tom, pleased to meet you, Amanda.
Hey Tom, so nice to meet you too. We're currently in the middle of utter whiteout rain. 2 days ago, I was on a mountaintop filming videos in a bikini, and for 24 hours, and it looks like it'll be like this for the next 4 days. Total whiteout rain, non-stop.
Wow.
100% chance of rain.
There you go. You just never, well, from this side of the pond, we never really think of that of Australia. I thought, oh, I'll ask her about the weather and she'll say, oh, it's beautifully sunny.
Well, normally, but I live in a rainforest now and times are changing, aren't they? Like, weather's mental, the world's mental.
Very true. Yeah, no, very true. Oh, well, thank you very much for joining me. I've already pressed record, so sure. I'm going to start by just introducing you, Amanda. Here's another episode of the Proper So here's another episode of the Proper Mental Podcast, and tonight I'm joined by Amanda Allens. Hi, Amanda. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm fine. Usually, thank you. I usually have my wingman Chris with me, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it this evening. But so we're on a bit of time difference here, mate, because you're on the other side of the world, right?
I am on the other side of the world. It's 10 a.m. In what's normally sunny Australia, but it's rainy Australia.
So 10 a.m. with Amanda, and it's like 11 o'clock with me. That's mad. I'm so glad I got the times right on the meeting request. I was paranoid I was going to book the wrong days.
Oh, you did so well. I'm terrible with that.
So whenever I speak to anyone, whenever me and Chris speak to anyone, we always make a lot of notes, Amanda, and I always get, out of anyone I get on, I always get a good page of notes. And just by putting your name into Google, I could have written 5 or 6 pages of notes, at least. You have lived and continue to live an incredibly full life, right?
Full is a good word.
Yeah, if you pop your name into Google, the first thing obviously that comes up is CrossFit. And before kind of jumping straight in there, I'd like to rewind a little bit, if that's okay. And so how did you find CrossFit and what were you doing before that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I reckon if you Googled me, CrossFit would come up, and I reckon a lot of mental health stuff would come up too, hey?
Certainly, we'll get to that for sure.
But honestly, CrossFit found me. I didn't go looking for it. In fact, it was I was trying to, and again, I fell into this by coincidence as well. I was trying to make the Olympics for high kneeling canoeing, and I wanted to get my upper body strong. And a good friend of mine, who's a sober alcoholic in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, said to me that she discovered this thing called CrossFit. She was raving lunatic about it. And I Googled it. And the guy who came up had dreadlocks, and there was a warehouse in the background that was the gym. And I liked both of those things. There were no mirrors. So I rang him and said, hey, I want to make the Olympics. I want to do some upper body stuff. I don't want to do any lower body stuff. I don't want to do any of the jumpy things. And so I went and I paid him his personal training fee, and he tolerated my limited mindset. He got my upper body strong, and I didn't quite make the world championship team. And that was at the same time that the 2011 CrossFit Open started. It cost $20. I've no idea what it cost today, but I was like, well, screw it. I throw my hat in the ring, because he's like, yeah, you should do it. So I paid my $20. I was like, well, I'm going to be working out on a Saturday anyway, so I'll do that. And I couldn't do double unders at the time, and of course I think that was the first workout that came up, so I had a few days to work that out. But I ended up at regionals and I finished third overall, so I ended up still had no clue what CrossFit was. Am I allowed to swear?
Sorry. Yeah, of course. You certainly
can. The F-bomb comes out of me quite a lot.
Anything you like, that works for us.
Okay. Yeah, so I had no fucking idea how to do a double under. First workout came up. I did, I managed to do like one double under, 1-2 skips, one double under, 1-2 skips. But that got me a berth at regionals. And then, still 40, I was 41. When I turned up at the CrossFit Games for the first time, representing, my country, and ended up 19th overall, came fourth in the first workout, and people wondered who the fuck this was. And I'm like, I don't know who I am either. I'm wondering who I am too. And basically that was the beginning, of my love affair, utter deep dive love affair. Like all good alcoholics, I have the the personality type and traits. And I got off the plane from that Games, came back in 19th place, came back with my suitcase, went straight to the gym from the plane, and I'm like, right, fucking let's go. I'm going back. And that attitude and that energy and that intensity, it did not stop for a decade. And, you know, as you're probably aware with a Google search, so I've ended up with 3 gold medals in Masters. I finished 19th as an individual. I missed getting back as an individual by 3 times by 1 place at regionals.
Wow.
So I was 41, 42, 43, and 44 was the last time I missed out by 1 place. I was total immersion. I was 6 hours of training a day without fail. You know, my day off was a long run, 2-hour run with my dog Pepper. And I didn't stop. I was a recovery machine. I was a pain swallowing machine. I was a, you know, workhorse. I'd spent a lifetime, and, you know, my depression and my alcoholism and my health issues, irritable bowel, like that set me up to already have been looking for ways to be healthy and recover. So I kind of brought a lot of tools to a space that rewarded having a lot of tools and skills.
So that was kind of leads me to my next question, really, because obviously you're a mental health advocate, you're very like open and honest for these things, you've done a lot of work in that space as well. So it sounds like you kind of, that was something you were going through previous to CrossFit, right? So you kind of brought that with you.
Look, my life with I think looking back, probably around 13, I recognize now that I had mental health issues, depression predominantly. But I had a lot of shame around that. And, you know, I didn't know how to ask. Nobody told me about that. So, I've struggled with mental health all my life. And I look back now, and I was actually reflecting recently that my mother, like, she was suicidal, she was depressed, she was probably bipolar. All of my childhood. So, you know, I was just following in the footsteps in a way.
I did a thousand
kilometer run in June 2016 for mental health, for suicide and mental health awareness. And that was like a 5 hours every day for 31 days straight to get my 1,000 Ks up. And really that run was symbolic of, and I actually headed off to the Games 3 weeks later, finishing that run off to the Games.
Oh, my gosh.
Came second to last. It's no way to prepare for the CrossFit Games, but every day on that run, every single day, every step I took was the epitome that symbolized living with mental health issues, living with depression, living with suicidal despair. It's like, take the next step, turn the fuck up. Take another step. You can't rush through it. Some days I would think, oh, I'm going to get through this 31 Ks, this 5 hours a bit quicker today. And in trying to do that, I couldn't maintain the intensity and it broke me. And that's what kind of living with mental health is a bit like too. You can only take on so much. And if you try to get through faster, or, you know, it's like, you can't do that. It's like eating an elephant. You just got to do it one bite at a time. And you know, what I've learned from all of that is, you know, that every single 1% of every single thing matters, you know, to my performance, to my health, to my recovery, to my mental state, to my, you know, and there's some, you know, on that mental health spectrum, like this last year has probably been the most challenging and difficult year of my entire life. And I never saw that shit coming, but we never do. And, you know, I fled, actually, domestic violence situation. I ended up hiding in my van with my wolves, 2 wolfhounds in a small van, and that then I went into surgery and you know, got cut open again, because I've had you know, like pelvis to diaphragm cut open twice now, 4 kilos of tumors removed, and then 2 years later, so in this last year, almost 2 years to the date, got cut open again, the same line.
Wow.
And you know, and then I you know, I just kept falling through holes, you know, you know, I ended up homeless for 5 months, COVID hit, you know, got cut open, chronic pain, that my body didn't recover from it. And I went into utter suicidal despair with every single breath probably for that entire period. And, you know, I'm just extricating myself now. But anyone who's followed me on social media is like, look at you emerge from the ashes, you know, I've done the full, you know, what is it? The phoenix, honestly. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that I know from all of this, the trajectory of my life and the challenges and, you know, the achievements as well, is that if I keep turning the fuck up, no matter what, you know, just swallow down what I can and breathe what I can, swallow down whatever pain and trauma and despair, and breathe whatever light and positivity I can, like, you know, healing happens. And, you know, I just learn, I learn, I learn, and I learn.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm still here. Yeah. And honestly, if it wasn't for my two wolfies, I wouldn't be here. There's no way I'd be here if it wasn't for them. None whatsoever. And I'm glad I am, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, fantastic. That's awesome. I'm glad you are too, Amanda. And, you know, like, we speak to all sorts of people from all different backgrounds, all different sports, all different everything. And we seem to be finding this common thread throughout mental health of, it doesn't matter where you're from and, you know, what's happened to you and what you do for a living and stuff like that, that there's these like common themes that really like work through it. And one of them that
doesn't discriminate,
really doesn't give a fuck, does it? And and you know, that whole thing of putting one foot in front of the other and just, like you say, keep showing the fuck up, right? I think that's like, yeah. If there's a slogan on a t-shirt, that would be honestly.
And people, you know, can imagine over the years, because I've done a lot of seminars, podcasts, talks, whatever, and it's such a common question. Like, you know, everyone wants to know what the magic pill is. You know, what's the secret? I'll tell you, well, I'm sorry. Like, you won't necessarily like this, but I tell you, it's the magic. It's the gold. It's keep turning the fuck up. Turn up. Keep turning up, and the miracles will happen. If you don't turn up, no miracles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that, Amanda, so much. That's just a brilliant way to say it. And how did you find, like, because I think when you're competing at such a high level in any sport at all, and obviously you've competed in a lot of different sports, obviously to give that much of yourself physically to something, it does take something away, right? And quite often when we sort of run ourselves, when the battery's low, then people are more susceptible to these, you know, to these dark times. And how did you find like the up and downs of like constantly giving everything and then having to be Amanda again afterwards?
All right, well, bring me back to answering this question if I get lost, because I do get lost sometimes. But I think also what I've discovered, like, and through attending AA, you know, for 10 years, I was like a meeting a day, two meetings a day sometimes. I've heard so many stories and I've shared mine too. And what I think also further along that line is that those of us who are suffer with mental health, you know, depression, anxiety, whatever it is, I believe we're the introverts, we're the highly sensitives, we're the empaths. So we're like these little sponges. We're like the little canaries in the coal mine, but we don't have any guides.
Completely.
I think we've been so isolated from the wise, you know, the wise women, the wise men, our beautiful tribal kind of way. We've been lost. And then we're kind of brutalized and judged and criticized. And so I think, see, I told you I would lose my way.
No, but, you know.
Yeah, I think, so I've had to learn, like, I feel like what I learn is how to harmonize being that. So, yeah, my answer then is every single time I've gone to regionals or games, and that's 6 times, both of those, I prepare months in advance. I prepare every single thing you could possibly imagine. And when I go to, I hate the games. I love them afterwards and I love the moments of highs, but they really fucking mess me up. And I spend probably 2 to 3 months after a games or a regional, 2 months definitely, recovering, like extricating myself from a dark, dark place. And it's such a slippery slope for me. I can never let up. And I'm okay with that now. Like, I love that what it's given me is the purity of awareness, of health, of performance, of recovery, of being the best version of myself. But, yeah, those games, like, I don't do well around. I pick up on everybody else's energy. And you can imagine the absolute nauseating adrenaline of every single athlete out there competing. Like, I sponge theirs and then I have to, like, metabolize and balance my own energy. So it's a big job. I've got so many structures and so many ways of doing everything to look after myself, but you can only control so much. So every controllable that I've got control over, I control, and then the rest I just have to leave up to, you know, the fluctuations of life and competition, and it's a journey, that's for sure. So all year I pretty much prepare myself for games or regionals, and the rest I'm happy to be in the gym training 6 hours a day with no other humans around, the music pumping and blood and sweat and, you know, chalk and tears. Like, I'm in my element there. Like, you know, I'm a real introvert, such an introvert. So the games really, you know, those big events, they really, yeah, they are catabolic for me. So I have to be so mindful. Yeah.
Because the other sports you've done, you know, the canoeing and triathlon and stuff like that, they're all solo sports, right? It's always been.
That's right. And CrossFit is, right? CrossFit, totally. If you're an individual, it's a totally individual sport. But with say triathlon, I know I'm going to turn up, do Ironman or Olympic distance or sprint distance. You know it's going to be 1 hour. It's going to be all by yourself. Once that buzzer goes, you swim by yourself, you ride by yourself, you run by yourself. You're fully in your own. It's like, I feel it's almost like shamanic journeying. Like, you are on this real deep dive into a place where nobody else can touch you, nobody else influences you. CrossFit, you know, multiple day, multiple workouts every day, like all the different changing dynamics. You're in this fucking crucible of, you know, you're just being heated up with so many you know, variables and humans and energy and demands, and, you know, it's like and of course it's in the States, so you're in another country, and so
there's a lot to contend with. The other thing I really wanted to chat to you about as well, and it comes across on your social media, you seem to have, I don't like the term spiritual, I don't think it's the best term, but, you know, you have an interest in yoga and you know, meditation, and you really seem to like connected to yourself in that way.
Oh my gosh.
And does that help you to kind of like balance out, because CrossFit is so, everything's bright and loud and hard and fast, and then there's this, you have to find the balance, and is that where some of the peaceful side of Amanda comes from?
Do you know, I mean, it's been a desperate search my entire life, like literally suicidal despair and depression and just utter desperation. So I've sought anything I possibly could from as young as I can remember. You know, 13, 14, I was reading university psychiatry texts looking for fucking answers to my pain and my discomfort. So that's never stopped. You know, I took a guru not that long ago, early days of sobriety, and got a spiritual name and chanted the thousand names of the Divine Mother in Malayalam every night before bed, which would take an hour, you know, incense burning, huge image of the, you know, I burn cow dung at dusk and dawn. Dawn and dusk, like evening, like, you know, and spirit, like, so I was looking for anything that would give me relief and answers. So yeah, that's been with me. But this last year, the way my life and the situation I found myself, it broke me like to the bones of my soul, right? And what I ended up doing was meditating. So like hours a day, and I would pray hours, like just pray, because there was nothing else left. And but what that's given me is, like, I think what happens when you're utterly, you know, it's like crushed. It's crushed to there's nothing that you recognize left. You find what you're made of, you know, what endures. And what's endured for me is you know, this prayer, this meditation, a connection to something. I don't know what it is. You can call it or imagine it as whatever you like, but there's an energy, and it's the universe that responds to energy. And so that's definitely a balance. I think it's given me a balance to the insanity. But I used to think I was 50-50 introvert extrovert, so my extrovert would thrive in CrossFit and then my introvert would hide the rest of the time, and that's definitely shifted now. I'm probably like a 90-10, like I'm probably about 10% extrovert now and 90% introvert, and I think that's just because I got crushed so completely, and, you know, I've transformed and evolved again, and it is a moving feast. It would be so much easier if nothing ever changed, right? It's like, I've got the answer. I've locked it in and I'm good for the rest of my days. Never been that way for me. So, yeah, it's a really, you know, it holds me and it's nourished me, and I feel like I really commune with nature now. I go to nature. I go to the sun. I go to the wind. I go to the surf. I go to the sand. I go barefoot. I go with my wolves, you know, and I share that with with humans, the humans, you know, because there's so many people now in trauma, in lockdown, in fear, and, you know, there's no other time that we've known in history like this. And I want to give back what my trauma and my journey and my struggles and my achievements have revealed to me. You know, I give that back now. So I think hopefully that's what people see and sense on social media. And it's I couldn't stop it, or, and I couldn't manufacture it if I tried. And I think it's the authenticity of all of that that people resonate with. And really, I want that to be, you know, because that's one of the things I prayed for and I meditated on, is the healing of the heart and the health of humanity. Like, you know, I literally prayed to God for the heart of the humans who were suffering, you know, that I could take on their pain in the fear that everyone was in. And, you know, so weird things. I can't say, I didn't, like I said, I didn't set out for any of this. It's just the way it is. And I feel it's my gift to give now.
It's your particular journey, right?
Yeah. My little weirdness. Here you go. If it helps you. Here it is.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned authenticity, and that really does come across in your, you know, on your Instagram and on your, the stuff that you put out there. You know, you can see that you live it and breathe it. And yeah, it's really good, man. It's really, really inspiring. The nature is that, it's just that connection to nature is just so important for all sorts of health, but, you know, mental health particularly, but all sorts of health. And we just seem to be getting further and further away from it, don't we? And
it's, we do. There's so much. I was so crushed towards the end. There's not a thing I trusted except nature and except my prayers, except energy. And I think more than anything, integrity now is such a, it's the commodity, it's the currency, integrity and health, right? And there's so much marketing and so many lies and, you know, in the world and claims, but integrity rings true and authenticity rings true. We know it. We've got a radar for it. And I think that's why what I'm doing now and the integrity that I've established, you know, over these last 10 years especially, is unequivocally true, and it resonates. And that's where we can help from. And we need that. We need authenticity and integrity and, yeah, to shine our light for others.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I think if you can, like, you know, go through something and come out the other side in a position to hold space for other people, then I just think that's like, that's fantastic. It's almost like a duty. And I feel like a lot of people who have been through something heavy, like for me, I found, you know, after I was poorly, I kind of, it gave me a real empathy, you know, for other human beings. And it made me much less judgmental and much less, you know, quick to assume things about people. And you do, you know, you kind of, you do, you, like you said, you pick up on other people's stuff, right? You know,
even, oh my gosh,
you just, you feel it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned your operations before, Amanda. And did you say, how many kilograms of tumor did you say came out?
I was actually 2 years ago, I was circling back around preparing to give regionals another go. I'm like, I'm fucking going back, you know. I'm like, whatever, I was 47, I'm like, I've got this. And and then I was rushed to emergency, and then again in a week I was rushed to emergency. No amount of morphine could dull the pain. They told me I probably had ovarian cancer, which was so good of them to do that to a woman in distress. They couldn't, they didn't know, and in pain. And and then I think a week after that I ended up in surgery, and it was about a 6-hour surgery. I was riddled with fibroid tumors, which turned out to be benign, but they didn't know till they did a biopsy of those tissues. But they cut me open, pelvis to diaphragm, and removed 4 kilos of tumors right throughout my torso. And they pretty much, you know, it was like, yeah, you're not really going to exercise again. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just glad to be alive, and I accept that I probably won't be doing CrossFit again. 7 months later, I'm at the CrossFit Games. I won, like, bloodied, and, you know, like, I didn't mention to any doctors. I'm like, they know fucking surgery. I know health and recovery. So I didn't mention it to them. So, 4 kilos of tumours removed, benign. They're like less than 300 reported cases of these type of tumours in the world. So they don't really know how it will progress. So I have to have regular MRIs and But I got cut open again because there were hernias, and but they ended up being quite complicated. So a day surgery ended up being a major surgery, and that spat me out. And my body, as I said, with the domestic violence and with a lot of things, had come to fruition there, and it just utterly broke me. And that was just like the precursor to all that was yet to come. You know, the homelessness, the COVID, the suicidal despair, and the chronic pain. And so it was an interesting little part of the journey. Fibroids. Wow. And you know, so many women have them: fibroids, endometriosis, polyps, you name it. And you know, that I did a lot of research about that, and you know, look at all of the aspects of it. And one of the energetic ones for women, particularly, like that's our source of our creative potential and our energy. And if you're not living that, you're repressing it, and the body, you know, it will turn on you if you don't express what it's got, the energy it's got to give. And I've no doubt that's why so many women have, you know, these tumors, fibroids, and, you know, in that womb, basically, in your greater source of creative potential energy. So yeah, I'm trying more than ever to be true to that space and my potential and all the, you know, creativity that lives in me. And I'm transforming by the day. And anybody who's followed me for a little while knows, like, it still takes my breath away. I don't know my own body and my own creativity. It's so new to me, and it's an absolute pleasure and a joy.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I can't believe you went on to compete back at the games after that. That's incredible.
Oh my Lord.
Did you decide that pretty much like right off the bat? Oh no, I'm going.
No. Honestly, it was like 2 weeks in, and I started to do like half air squats. 2 weeks after surgery, I'm like, I did push-ups on the wall and partial air squats, and I sat on my assault bike for 10 minutes, the slowest thing you've ever seen, two weeks later. And then a month later, I was just back in the gym, and I just moved a medicine ball a little bit, you know, like from ground to overhead sort of thing. And, you know, I just started like that. And then I think it was 2 months after surgery, the Open started. I was like, well, fuck it. I'll just start. And I've done this before, because I fractured the neck of my femur on the second year of CrossFit, and same deal basically. So I'm just like, look, I'll start. I don't know what they're going to, what'll turn up. If I can't do the movement, if I'm going to hurt myself, I'll stop. But what happened is I just turned up. I just had a go. And every single time it was enough. So I think I qualified. I think I finished the Open in sixth place. This is inside 3 months post-surgery, major fucking surgery, major. And you should see the photos. It's like, I got gutted. I literally got gutted, you know, wide open. And then during the qualifiers. So then the second round, I finished second overall. So this is 3 months after surgery that started, and I finished second going into the games. And then I won the games again, my third time, and only by 1 point, because the last workout was all core. I was utterly, both my hands were bloodied, like just pouring blood, and it went down to the wire. It went down to 1 point. And I was like, of course you did it in dramatic, bloody style. Of course you did. Of course you did. Like, is that not summarize my little life?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Like, quite literally, like, clawed your way across the line on that one, right?
Look at her go, yeah?
Look at her go.
Keep turning up. There's the motto.
That is amazing. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, and I like, what, you know, like, with major, major surgery like that, everyone always tends to like focus on the physical, you know, and no one talks about, you know, the emotional side of it and the mental side of you know, of having your body treated in that way, you know, like just that there's so much more to just waiting for something to heal and cracking on. Like,
that's right.
Deeper and deeper and deeper layers to that, you know, that you would have had to take care of.
That's right. And I mean, I surrendered utterly. Like, you've no idea. I surrendered everything I was and everything I knew on that table when they said you have ovarian cancer and you'll never exercise again. And I was in so much pain and so much fear and so much trauma. I held on to, I had love. I had so much love and compassion, and I had every breath. That was it. And I held that space. And And as I came out of that and began that journey back to CrossFit, I wanted to do it for the people who could never believe that these things were possible for themselves, you know, to be that example. And I actually think by the time I got to the games, I put a huge amount of pressure on myself to shine that light so brightly for people that I would win to show them. And it was a little bit too much, but there we go. But I wanted to be that, I wanted my performance to be that gift to those people in the darkest places to see that there is light and there is so much hope and there are miracles.
Yeah.
And it turns out there are. Well,
there certainly is. Yeah, you're living proof of that, Amanda, for sure. do you still train with that intensity? Do you still, you know?
Everything's changed. So when I did have the surgery, I was just taking my, I was selling my gym because I was running a gym. I had a lot of challenges there. And so I sold out of that and I just needed, it had been a decade. So I, after I won the games and had a few challenges with work and the gym, I just lost the utter passion, like that passion and that intensity of that passion and the discipline and the drive. It lasted 10 years without fail, like every day of every month of every year of a decade. Wow. You know, from 40 basically to 50 was total commitment to that sport. But by that stage, like it, I'd just been crushed, enough crushed out of me. But also that fascination had left me. I think I'd achieved everything I could possibly hope to achieve in that sport. It's like there has to be a fascination. So I just started a new journey and, you know, that I just went into the gym. And what happened really for me was my body was completely out of balance. And I needed to take a step back from the intensity and find a new way. And, you know, my body has come into the most extraordinary new balance. I don't do CrossFit now. I did go into the gym and do a lot of bodybuilding style training, but that was more to balance, to strengthen and balance and soften and soothe and but still get my medicine because my movement's my number one, one of my number one medicines. Mm. And I'm sure it saved my little life so many times. But now I just work bands in the wild with my wolves on the beach, you know, and that is holding me and healing me and making me happy and keeping my mental health stable. So I actually, my body can't do intensity anymore. I just can't. It literally, I've saturated my body and swallowed so much pain in the decade I did CrossFit that it has no tolerance for it anymore. And I've just got to respect that. But as a result of respecting it and exploring the new way, oh my gosh, like my health is radiant. My creativity is radiant. My balance, my body is like 50 years old and I'm like, fucking look at my body. You know, I didn't know that I had this in me that, you know, the body of my dreams could be waiting for me at 50. And so it's just like it's an entirely new metamorphosis of this creature called Amanda Unicorn Allen, you know, whoever I am.
Yeah.
So I'm just sort of completely enamored and committed to that journey and that it's just a constant discovery and, you know, I really honor it and I share it and I don't, there's no ego involved in it. I'm like, not like, oh, fucking look at me. I'm just like, oh my God, look at this. You know, it's like, I'm like second person removed. So I just want to, I want to share the lessons and the inspiration and the joy and the, you know, the wisdom of all of that.
It's awesome and I think it's really good for people to see and that come from such a pure place as well, you know, because in a, you know, in an industry that's not always, you know, particularly legit, you know, people it's really nice to see that come from such a beautiful place. You mentioned movement being like medicine there and what other medicine do you have other, you mentioned rituals a lot on your
oh my God, look, honestly, every single thing from the moment I wake in every day is my medicine. Do you know, there is not a thing in my day and in my life that isn't there by some wisdom or choice or necessity or inspiration, you know, like how my days go, how I go to bed, what time I go to bed, the space that I sleep in, the way I create that room, the light, the smells, the ventilation, the comfort, the pillow, you know, like, I mean, I've had huge PTSD and hypervigilance that, you know, it's only just softening now, but I've been afraid of going to sleep, you know, lying down to go to sleep and my fear just rises, like there's a terror, So, you know, it's been an interesting journey. And, you know, so when I wake up, the ritual of my morning, you know, what I do with my wolves, what I feed them, that I feed the birds, that I set my coffee, that I set my intentions, I do breath work as I'm doing that. I pray over my coffee. I pray over my morning water. You know, I sit and I do breath work while I'm drinking my coffee and feeding the lorikeets and like observing nature and being grateful and beholding the beauty and the wonder of the leaves and the trees. And, you know, like, and it doesn't stop. And then, you know, the structure of my day. So I do my training at the time that it lifts me up the most and I need to move to metabolize the energy, because if it stays in me and it doesn't have an outlet, it implodes on me and it becomes anxiety now more than depression. So yeah, the way, and then the you know, my Green Goddess, I drink 2 liters of that every single day during and after my training. And you know, the food, like my coffee isn't just coffee, it's my holy coffee, which is MCT, coconut, chaga, you know, organic coffee, all of it. Like, it's there for a reason. It helps stabilize my mental function, you know, my blood sugars, you know, my hydration is part of my mental health plan and my health plan. And, you know, the greens that I have in my Green Goddess are to reduce inflammation, because, you know, depression and anxiety are hugely aggravated by inflammation, and inflammation is everywhere. It's in what you think, it's in the nightshades that you eat or the sugars that you consume. So I've stripped everything away that could be catabolic or inflammatory or aggravating. And like I said, I'm a canary. I've had horrible irritable bowel, horrible hemorrhoids, horrible mental health, like you name it, anything that can aggravate, it aggravates me. So I've systematically, and I'm 50 now, like it's been a big journey these last 30 years, identifying and eliminating and then magnifying what works and aligning and harmonizing it. So, you know, when I do what I do, why I do it is careful. Like, there's no mystery. There's no accidents in my day. So I think that controlling the controllables, it's not a brittle, hard, you know, like gritting my teeth. It's a joy. It's a flowing, it's a sensing, and I really, align more than ever with my intuition and my inner guidance and the soft. It's very soft and it's very flowing and it's very nourishing. And I, you know, I kind of, you know, also, yeah, I could like break it down to, you know, just about half hour by half hour every day, why and what I do. But it all holds me and it all heals me and it will never stop. And, you know, I've in the pit of despair, the darkest night of my soul in this last 12 months, I've also been the most creative, you know. It's like the gift of the darkness is immense creativity. And I've developed this product range now, which are the products that I've been putting into my body for the last fucking 15 years anyway. Yeah. Do you know, it's like I didn't just make this shit up one night and go, oh, I'm gonna create a brand, I'm gonna fucking sell heaps of supplements. It's like, no, what I did was I created a label and a narrative to go with what sustained and supported and held and healed and propelled me to the greatest heights and held me through the darkest darkness. And so you know, that's part of my journey now, is I get to give that back. It's my prayer to give that back, to help heal the heart and health of humanity, basically. And, you know, and there's a zeolite product now, which, and this is a huge game changer for me, is it strips all heavy metals, toxins, chemicals, pollutants out of my little fucked up system. And, you know, it's stripping and those things. And I believe it's an energetic trauma that sits in our cells too. Those fat cells are the ones that hold all of the poison and the toxin, energetic or physical. And so that's been a real journey too. And I get to strip that out of my body, and everyone's seeing that in the last 5 months, and I get to sell that as well, you know. And then what my intention is to give back. Like, there's so little I need. You've no idea how little I need in the world. So much was stripped away from me. I need so, so little that I believe that the abundance that's coming from these products and formulas that I've created, I'm going to be able to give back. Like, I want to pay it forward like no one you've ever fucking seen before, you know. And that's my gift back, not just to sell and to keep what profits come, but to sell and to keep giving into my community, and into the people who are reaching out, who are in those states of despair and trauma, whether it's internal or external, because the apocalypse, God, is upon us. So I just, you know, it's so strange the way everything comes back around, you know, and the integrity and the intention that we set and that we hold to and that we work towards, it comes back around, and then we become this balance, this, you know, this self-perpetuating, like, positivity ecosystem of give and take and give and take. And yeah, I feel so supported, and hopefully some of that makes sense.
It really did, because environment is everything, you know. And one of my favorite quotes, I have no idea who said it, is you can't heal in the environment that made you sick. You just can't. You have to make those wholesale changes. And with, like, physical health, everybody knows if you want to cut down the risk of a heart attack or whatever, then yeah, we should eat more vegetables and go for a run. We know, whether you choose to do it or not, we know how to protect our physical health. But mental health is treated as this thing that you either have it or you don't. And that's just not true. Like, everybody's susceptible. And, you know, for a mixture of bad luck and bad choices and loads of other factors, anyone's susceptible. And we should protect that, like we try and protect our physical health. You know, it's mental health seems to have a more of a reactive approach rather than a proactive approach. And it, you know, like you said, the apocalypse is upon us, right? You know, we need to... need to get after it. Can we chat about your wolves, Amanda? Because they're just amazing.
My wolves,
And I think it's no, you know, there's a certain irony that you know, obviously depression's known as the black dog, and now you potter around with two massive white wolves, eh?
That's wolves. That's really cool. It's not lost on me, hey. And actually, on my run, there was an article in a newspaper. They did one of those cartoon sketches of these two white wolves either side of this crazy woman running. And they said something about, you know, like leaving the black dog behind. And yeah, I think, you know, I really do believe that I have a role to play in helping other humans. You know, that's going to be the gift of the dark night is the hero's journey. You know, you come back and you give back what you've learned. And I have needed them, firstly, to hold me here on the planet through the darkest nights, and that they're big, they're so big, and they're so white, and they have protected me and held me. And, like, it is very symbolic. One of them, Ishka, my older one, he's, like, got about 4-inch long white dreadlocks, and he's a beast, and he is my protector. He protects and scans and yeah, it's his role. He is the beast. And then my other one, Lobo, my younger one, his younger brother, he's a bit more of a fatty and a bit of a softy and a bit of a baby, but he will literally attach his body to me when I'm in free fall, anxiety, depression, trauma. And it's like he holds the energy, he sponges it for me. And so energetically, it's like these two brothers have a role to hold, the way they're energetically, their presence holds me as well. And then they remind me every moment of every day how to be in the world. They eat, they love, they sleep, they play, they repeat, you know, and they're one with nature. And that being one with nature and being one with them and being a woman who literally runs with the wolves and protected by her wolves is there's a fairy tale. I've already written one fairy tale, and that was in this last 12 months, The Last Unicorn, and they're featured in it. It's extraordinary. It's the most beautiful. And there's another fairy tale writing itself currently of the wolves and the unicorn who live in the treehouse and the island and the rainforest with a wizard, you know, and a little peanut dog. So, it's a real, I feel it's quite a profound little fairy tale too.
It's a hell of a story. It really, really is. And you live in a rainforest, right?
I do. I don't know how it happened, because I was, stranded in my van for 5 months, and I was living outside of the homeless hub for a while because I felt safest there. I would have hot showers there, and they would try to feed me their shit food. I couldn't eat that. Like, I was okay with the food. I didn't need that. I just needed somewhere to be. But actually the smell of the urine outside of the front of the homeless hub was so bad, because so many homeless people stay there in their vans. Yeah, I couldn't stay there anymore. You know, I mean, that was the low, right? You know, I parked in the community centre by the playground where there are 24-hour toilets, and that's where I felt safest towards the end. It was treacherous times. Like 50-year-old triple world champion, and look at me. How did I end up in that situation? Like, if I did, anybody can. There's no discrimination completely. With these things.
Not at all. Not at all. Where does your resilience come from, Amanda? Where does that, you know, to keep showing up? Is that something? Can you practice that? Can you train it? Where does it come from?
I honestly don't know, you know, because somebody wrote on my profile yesterday, even to a post that I wrote, that she'd given up. She'd given up and she couldn't find it in her that she couldn't keep turning up, that she'd given up. And I just think, well, fuck, I used to give up for it. Sometimes I would just want to give up, like fucking just give up. And then something in me would be like, well, what if you just give up for today? Like, let's just fucking give up for today and then see what happens tomorrow. Or, you know, or I would just go 3-4 days of just back-to-back Netflix. I would disappear from the world, hide in a dark hole and reemerge. And look, I don't know, like, I think like my wolves, I would have been dead without them this last year, no question, many times over. So they held me when I wanted to give up, and because I could never leave them, not to another human, not ever. I don't know. I think it's deep in our DNA. I think I have warrior women in my ancestors. I truly believe that there's something deeper than this lifetime in me that's held me long enough, you know, to be a warrior and a light bringer. Do you know? I don't know, but I'm still fucking here, and that is the miracle of all miracles. And I've prayed for a long time, even without knowing that I prayed, and I've invoked the energy of healing and the love of humanity. And I think also, like, some people are broken and made bitter by what happens, and others are broken and their heart becomes so big and so deep, and the compassion for others comes so, it's like a flood and it never stops, and it raises me up. And I see that in my own family. I see that with my mother, who I love, and I've been trying to reconnect with her recently, but I see that life broke her, but it broke her and left a bitterness in her. Whereas for me, it's broken me and it's broken open the deepest compassion. I never saw this coming either, but forgiveness has always been in me. Even when I took a guru, my seed word for my mantra was forgiveness. You're asked for a word. And so, you know, I forgive everyone. I forgive and love my ex, because he's a broken human too. You know, we're all, this is the thing, you know, people may perpetrate atrocities on others, but I believe many of those people are broken humans, you know, broken, and they need healing. It's not for me to heal them necessarily. Mm-hmm. I can show the way, but I don't know. I think we're all made of something deep genetically, but there's free will, isn't there? Like, yes. You still choose. Will you heal and bring love, or will you not heal and bring poison, you know?
yeah, very much so, you know, and there's those key words. Sorry, Amanda. There's those key words, you know, forgiveness and, you know, empathy, compassion, you know, these are all like caring words, you know, and you can only change the world from a place of compassion. That's the only way to change the world. There isn't, you know, and by, you know, sort of being the light, doing your own, walking your own journey, walking your own footsteps, being the change you want to see. That's how we make change, right?
That's how we make change. It's funny you say that, you know, about the compassion, because I, the last few days, I've just keep repeating in my mind, like, compassion trumps fear every time. Compassion trumps fear. Compassion trumps fear. Like, if I can just open myself up to compassion, and, you know, the first place that compassion needs to flow is to myself. And when I bring a spirit and energy of compassion to myself, oh my God, it melts away, you know, because I can be so judgmental, so critical, so hard. And that's learned, you know, that voice of judgment and criticism and aggression and, you know, and pressure, and it's learned.
100%.
And I'm unlearning, like, all the beauty, all the love, all the compassion, all the creativity, all the you know, the beauty, the authenticity, the creativity, it's all there under all of that, those layers that have been piled on me. And I think, you know, being the empaths and the little sponges and the canaries in the coal mine, we've taken on so much of that. It's no wonder we end up suicidal and depressed and anxious. I'm systematically peeling the layers back, and it's beautiful what's underneath. And it's already in all of us. Like, we don't have to change to get well. We have to remove those layers of trauma and judgment and criticism and harsh, brittle, aggression.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, all the, like, the really deep texts and stuff like that, they always say, you know, what you need is already within you. And when you read it as like a statement or something, it almost sounds too simple. And sometimes
it's so
you have to go really round the houses to find out, right, to get back to yourself. You have to go on this journey.
I've delved into so much in this last year, you know, whether it's astrology, astronomy, quantum physics, you know, the mystics. I mean, it's been a life journey, but this last year, and, you know, one of the things that we know about the fractal universe and quantum physics is that, you could take a leaf off of a tree right here in my yard, and every cell has within it all of the genetic, if you like, or quantum information to create this entire planet again. Every cell in your body could birth this entire planet that you see here before you. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
You know, and what that means, if you can start to invoke that, I'm 100%. And, you know, like things like I have been fluoride free in my water now for over 15 years, probably. You know, I think that alone, if we eliminated fluoride, because our mental function is so compromised, and you know, what passes across the blood-brain barrier really impacts our mental health and our emotional health. And so I've been a work in progress on that for a long time. And I think, you know, all of the pieces of the puzzle are coming together now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it makes so much sense, because, you know, we think of it because of humans, because we've got conscious thought, and, you know, evolution has been so kind to us. We see ourselves as separate to nature, but we're not. We are of nature, right? We're just
evolved
in a
different,
and one different
with,
way.
Yeah,
completely.
And I think we've just been slowly, I was thinking about this yesterday, like, we need we need safety, right? But what's happened, instead of having deep roots, we've built tall walls. You know, we've created so many walls and so many compartments, and, like, we literally, all of us, we've ended up in boxes inside of boxes, and even right down to Instagram, like, we couldn't reduce ourselves much more. Like, there's been such a reductionist, and we just need to have deep roots and simplify our little lives. You know, I think we've been distracted by the bright lights and the thick walls and the things.
Yeah,
and we need so little to be well. And truly, we need heart connection and, connection with nature and us, and, you know, a higher energy and light. And it's so simple.
Yeah, it really is. That's awesome. A lovely way to put it. And it probably feels like a really cool moment to just start to wrap this up, you know. But before we do, like, what's next for Amanda? Because, you know, it sounds like whatever it's going to be, it's going to be very exciting. It's
The creative, like, my life, 50 years has been brought together here in this little treehouse in a rainforest with my wolves and my little business, which is literally healing the heart and health of humanity. Like, I have a voice, and I have these formulas, which I do believe they're, you know, they're God-given, or they're inspired, they're divine, and they've come through my trauma and my achievements and my living on purpose and my persevering through it all. You know, what I've got to give and the way I can help, I think that's my next 50 years without a doubt. And, you know, the world is so sick and so desperate, in such fear, and never before has our health and our immunity meant so much. It is the only currency now. Radiant health and the radiant light that we get to share, and our connections again, like, the beauty of this time is that there is a silver lining. Like, we are both living in the age of tyranny and the age of miracles, and I'm a part of the miracle side of it now. And, I think I'm just ahead of the curve, so I can help so many people by just being the example, right? Being the change and showing the way. And that's really what I'm doing, is I'm just going to keep banging around in my little life and, you know, responding to the rhythm and the patterns of nature and my gifts, and, you know, keep giving. There'll be some more fairy tales, and there'll be, I think I've found my purpose, and I just keep turning up and seeing what the universe would like, you know, which way it would like me to flow. But I have such immense faith, which isn't to say, like, I had a major meltdown a few days ago, but I also put a lot of pressure on myself sometimes, and sometimes it builds up and I just have to break and let it all go. And, but I'm in a safe place in all of that. So yeah, I think the future is incredibly bright and incredibly beautiful, and at no better time, to be able to, give that to others, without self-sacrifice. And I think, you know, we've all learned to self-sacrifice, but that's not a balance. You know, we need to really look at that yin and yang, and we live on the line between the dark and the light in that yin and yang symbol, to live on the tension and to bring our greatest light. And so, yeah, that's my, like, there'll be bikini workouts and bands and wolves and health and healing and harmony and the gift of many ways that I can give that back to myself and to others.
Oh, mate. Yeah, that's beautiful. That really is. And just we'll put links on everything we post. We'll put like links to your website and all that sort of stuff. And just look, while we're talking about your products and stuff, I saw your video the other day and you individually stick every label on, right? You know, like about an independent posted with love thing. Well, I just thought that was cool as hell to see you doing that.
Thank you for that. And, you know, like, literally this started in my van in a pit of despair with the first label that I created, you know, with Upwork, with a, you know, designer, it's who knows where. And like, it literally was born in the cocoon of my van in a dark, dark night of the soul. And it's literally grew in my van, and then it's grown into this little room that I now have, four walls and every single label. And I was like, oh, I don't think people realize what I do. I should tell them. Nobody understands that I literally blend every formula. I put every label on every bag, and I seal every bag, and every single bag that I pack as I'm doing it and labeling it, I literally meditate on who it is that I'm giving that product and sending it to and what they're going through. And I feel literally like it's a shamanic connection to that human. I say prayers for them. Like, no shit, there will never be machines. There will never be a major production ever. Those times are over. Like, I give, you know, from my heart and with prayers and with love and with personal. And I'll go batches where I won't sell more than I'm able to give and create without hurting myself. Do you know? And that's the beauty now. That's what we all need to do, is just give to the level that sustains us and nourishes us and others. So yeah, isn't it a precious, precious thing? And it's a success story, and we're only just in the beginning stages of that. And I just want to help others with it. I want to give so much back to people who are struggling, and also struggling to save themselves, not struggling and indulging, you know, or a victimhood. Like, I can't help people who are still indulged in victim, but I can help people who are looking for light and guidance and willing to do whatever it takes to get well. I can help them.
Yeah. People who are showing the fuck up, right? Every single day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that comes across. Amanda, it radiates from you. We're on the other side of the world talking through a screen, and that absolutely radiates off you. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on to chat. You've been so honest, so open, and I appreciate you, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Likewise. I can't thank you enough, and you're such a beautiful light and the space you're holding, and Yeah, it's such a privilege, and it's meant the world to me to have this conversation with you at this time. And so you keep doing what you're doing, and I'll share the life out of this too.
Thank you, Amanda.
In the space that you're holding.
Awesome. Oh, pleasure to meet you, Amanda. Thank you very much.
It's been a joy. Thank you again, Tom.
Ta-da.
Okay, all the love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.